Hallelujah. Praise God. Please take your seats. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there is a scripture that I want us to look at in 3 John, and it's verse 2 of 3 John. And, you know, the thing that we've always learned from our pastor over the years is that when there is a prayer prayed in the Bible, although there is a human being in that moment praying it, it is a prayer of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what I'm saying? And 3 John 2, if we can have that on the screen, please. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I... No, 3 John, not John 3. 3 John, as in one, the third letter of John. 3 John 2. And, you know, this in this scripture, John the Apostle is writing, but really the Holy Spirit is speaking. I just want you to say the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit is praying for me. Wow. And the scripture says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. How many here are parents? If you're a parent, just lift up your hand. And many of you, you're not yet and you're going to be soon. You know, there is something in my heart when I pray for my children that just feels different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you pray for your children, it's almost like it comes from this really deep place. This place that I can't even explain. And sometimes I'm just praying for them. But then other times, it's like it comes from deep down and it's this desire that's being expressed because I love them and they're my legacy and they're my flesh and blood. And I just want, I can't tell you how much I want the very, 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 very best for them. And my dearest friend in Uganda, we're always sharing the kind of deepest prayers of our hearts. And, you know, I was sharing with her about this year, and my greatest prayer for my children, for both of them, is just that they, and they love God already, don't get me wrong, but that for both of them, that they fall so head over heels in love with Jesus. Just this love that will just hold them. You know, they're becoming adults because of their age. But you know, when you go away to wherever you go, if you love Jesus with everything on the inside, it will just keep you. And so when I pray that, it's like it comes from here. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is our daddy praying for us. This scripture is your daddy praying from the depths of his heart of love for you. Just say he's praying for me. And you see what the word says here is, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Well, let me tell you what this word prosper means. The Greek word here, it means succeed. It means do well. And there's a sense in it about journeying in the Greek. If you look it up in the Greek, it's about the journey of success. It's about in every area of our lives, as we journey with the Lord, that we will succeed in marriage, that our marriage will be a sweet reflection of what God intended when he did the whole mysterious thing of the bride and the church. It's this, the groom and the church. It's his desire for success in every divine relationship in your life, in your ministry, in every area, in business, in work. He's saying, my beloved, I'm praying that you will succeed. Are you hearing me? And it says in all things. It doesn't say in some things. It doesn't say this is important to me, but the other isn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In all things and be in health. Wow. Wow. God's desire isn't that we get healed. That wasn't his first plan for you and me. It was that we walk in divine health. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? That's his plan, his purpose, his heart for you and for me. But you see, this prayer is so powerful. because it says, beloved, I pray for you. I want you to hear the heart of the Lord praying for you right now, that you may prosper, that you may succeed, do well in every area of your life and be in full health. Just as, say just as,
just as.
To the proportion that your soul prospers. Wow. Just for a moment, think of the heart of God. You know, we have this very powerful God. We're made in his image. He's very emotional. Imagine the grief he felt as he looked at his beloved son, Saul. This man that he chose, that he says, this one's going to go far. When he had to look at the whole of Israel, he chose one man. And he said, I know that this man can make it. Imagine the sadness of the heart of God. Because you see, Saul was promoted. He prospered in the natural beyond the prosperity of his soul.
Right.
And as a result, it all fell apart. We all know the story, you know. My son's turning 17, 1 month today. So he's going to be able to drive soon. So he's going to be giving me lifts, all sorts of plans. I'm joking. But you see, no, of course I'm not going to want, even if I had the money, I wouldn't want to give him a Ferrari. No! Why? Because I want him to be capable of driving to the greatest extent before he ever can step behind the wheel of anything that could kill him. Are you hearing me? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and succeed and do well in all things in the year of Jubilee. There is a window wide open. But may it be to the extent that your soul prospers. Well, what does your soul mean? Greek word, psych, where we get the word psychology. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So the Lord our God is saying, my daughter, my son, I want you to do well to the extent that your mind, your will, and your emotions do well. Are you getting this today? You know, I just want to put up a couple of slides. You see, what does the Bible mean? You see, the more you can break this down and be able to evaluate, where am I, Lord? Where am I? You know, the more you're going to be able to go on the journey that God has for you this year, right now, so that you can really receive everything that God has for you this year. You know, there are things God wants to give you this year. Say this year. But will you allow your soul to prosper? Are you hearing me? You see, if we can have that first slide up now, please. The mind. Your mind is your thoughts, your imagination, your reason, your memory, your motives. You know, the way with memory that I always put it is this. If there is any memory that you can't look full front in the face and smile at. Let me explain it. You see, memories of the times that I've messed up. Memories of when, you know, the things done to me, that's one thing. But the messes I made. The people I've hurt. How can I look those memories in the face and smile? How? That's almost perverse, isn't it? But let me tell you how I can. You see, every one of those memories shows me the work of healing that God's done on the inside. So you see, I can look those memories in the face and say, hey, that was you back then, but look at what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. You see, if there's any memory of anything someone said to you, of words that were spoken, of times when you tripped up when you know you shouldn't have. You know, if there's any memory that you can't yet look at without any shame, without any sadness, It's a memory God still needs to heal. Do you know the healing of the heart is a journey? Twice in the book of Jeremiah, we see the prophet talking about being partially healed. And you know why that's so dangerous? Because we've had a bit of healing, so we think we're sorted. You know, you're almost better knowing you're a mess than thinking you're sorted when you've still got issues. You know, God wants us to stay on the train of transformation. Sorry, I always think of it like a train, forgive me. But he wants us to stay on that journey and allow the Lord to do that work on the inside. You know, if you still struggle in your thought life, if your imagination isn't imagining the best, but you find yourself always imagining the worst, it's time to say, Lord God, do a work on the inside. That every success may be an outpouring of the success on the inside. You know, let's go to the next one, will. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our imagination. You see, your will is your voluntary actions, your choices, your decisions. You know, as God started to speak to me about this last year, and I was praying and I was saying, Lord, show me. You know, it's something I do regularly. Father, what on the inside do you want to deal with right now? You know, what he did 2 months ago, that's history, my brother, my sister. What does he want to do today? What does he want to do in the first few weeks and months of this year? And, you know, I was praying and I said, Lord, show me. You know, in the air of my soul, because I suddenly sort of think of, wow, honest truth, when I first saw that and saw it fresh, I thought, wow, God, well, I think my soul's prospering more than my bank account is. So it's time for some increase, you know, and I pray that we all reach that place where we can use that as an argument for increase. So I was saying, God, but show me what you see. He's always wanting to work on us. He's always wanting to change us. And so I said, you know, I said, Lord, show me. And you know, I've been seeking God about the anointing. And you know, one of the things I teach is we all have an anointing connector. So, you know, for some people, you know, like with Benny Hinn, part of what helps pull the anointing on him is actually a packed room, isn't it right? You know, when he sees the hunger in a packed room, something on the inside happens and it causes him to be able to pull down the anointing more powerfully. And the anointing connector for me is very simple. It's worship. When I reach that place of raw worship, when I'm just, you know, there's me and Jesus in the room and no one else, I know that I can carry the anointing. Well, God convicted me. You know what he said to me? He said, Joe, worshiping in order to get the anointing is like having sex for money. Think about it. You know, the worship means kiss. And God showed me, revealed, exposed my heart to me that my worship would increase in its quality and quantity as I was needing to minister. And suddenly I saw it, my will. My will wasn't where it should be, because choosing to worship is something of my will. And I wept in the presence of God and I said, Lord, forgive me. And one of my goals, one of my commitments of 2018 is I said, Lord, I will worship daily. And I don't mean worship. I mean, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to meet with you daily, to kiss you daily. I kiss my husband every day. Worship means kiss. Why wouldn't I kiss God every day? That's not sing a song. That's worship. The will. I want to touch on the emotions. You know, so many times our emotions are evidence. They are signs of something else going on. If we could have the third slide, please, emotions. They are evidence of something else going on the inside. You know, there are so many different ways that the human soul can be dysfunctional. Yeah. Do you know what? Many people have what I call faulty feelings. We would know what it means if you have a faulty battery in the car. My car just needed to have a new battery because my battery was faulty. wasn't totally broken. It was still charging, but not quite enough. So we got rid of the old battery and put in a new battery. I had a faulty battery. Many of us have faulty feelings. Feelings that are either too gushing, too much, or they're only expressing a certain type of emotion. And it's all out of kilter. You know, these are just some examples of emotions: anger, loneliness, confusion, joy, jealousy, anxiety, frustration, sadness, defensiveness. And many of these emotions are symptoms that help you and I to know. You know, if I've got a rash all over my body, then normally it's a symptom. And it shows that maybe there's a virus or a bug or something or an allergy. But you don't just have a rash for no reason. Right. Is that true? Yes. If there's a rash, there's a reason. And many of these emotions are like a rash that illustrates that there is something beneath the surface that God wants to deal with. Do you remember? We're looking at how whole our soul is, how well we are on the inside. Let me give you some examples. You see, anger. And this is something that men and women suffer with, but it's often a male thing. And let me explain a bit why. So you see, if a man has trapped pain, or a woman, but it's often a male thing, trapped pain on the inside that's been buried, never dealt with, and there's a disconnect. And so, you know, there's this pain, and because the pain is never released, it's like something boiling and bubbling on the inside. And very often, what somebody with these kind of trapped, this trapped pain on the inside, things will happen, you know, little things, or calm, little things, or calm, little things, and then something will be said or done. A plate smashed, something happened over here or over there, and then there's this explosion. There was a gentleman at the last Healed for Life that we had in America. This was exactly his story. A gentleman in his early 60s, phenomenal man of God, successful business person. And he said, but all his life, he's been married for 20-something years, grown up children. And he said, but all his life, there's been one thing that he's never, ever managed to deal with. And it would be this. He'd always seem very calm, in fact, very passive man. Very calm, nothing would bother him. But then suddenly something would happen and he would explode. There would be an outburst of rage. And he knew it was hurting his family, and it was hurting him too. And he said he'd tried everything. He'd, you know, gone to deliverance places and gone to conferences for healing. And just, he'd done everything to try and get free in this one area. And at Healed for Life in December, it was absolutely extraordinary what God did. God took this man back to when he was just this high, to under the age of 2. And he was suddenly sore. How his mum during this time had just consistently been hitting him. He'd gone through a lot of beatings at this time in his life. His mum was stressed, and, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, everything else happens. And she'd beaten him too much, and something on the inside of that little boy had died, had disconnected. And so 60 years. He got saved at age 19. All his life, there was this anger that he didn't know what to do with on the inside of him. God took him back to that experience, and he fell on his knees, and God healed this man's heart. And I spoke to him just a couple of days ago because I wanted to follow up on some of the testimonies, because I like to hear, you know, what's it like now you're home? And he said, I'm completely different. My wife has seen it. My family have seen it. He said, I react normally now when things go wrong. And you know, this man told me that he'd seen success in his life, but he'd never been able to break the glass ceiling Are you hearing me? But you see, beloved, I know that that beloved son of God is going to prosper in all things because his soul is prospering in a new way now. You know, when we will allow God to go to the depths, you know, if there are a few that I just want to touch on that God put on my heart. You know, we don't know our hearts. Our hearts are like these huge, vast vaults full of filing cabinets, each filing cabinet holding a different folder, each folder holding many files, and each file holding a memory, a sentiment, a thought, a word. And then we think we're fine, just shut the door of that vault and walk away. But you see, God wants to deal with everything. He wants to go so deep. There was a couple of examples that the Lord put on my heart. You know, I've mentioned anger. And if you are someone and things just sit, and then suddenly you'll burst. I want to encourage you at the beginning of this year of Jubilee to get before God and say, Father, heal every last remnant of pain in me. Anger is not normal. Anger is normal when it's when it comes and goes. You see, we're made in the image of God. And does his anger last? And he never has uncontrollable outbursts either. He's always in control. He always knows what he's doing in the midst of the highest moments of anger. And we're made in his image. He is our standard. You know, another one is approval. You know, so often we can reach a place where we feel like we're free from the opinions of people. But, you know, I remember the journey very recently of God getting me to the place where I can handle being disapproved by my own husband. You know, he's very clear when he's not happy. You make, don't you? You make it really obvious. You know, and you see, we've got to know on the inside that we're so accepted. We've got to reach that place where we're so secure that that boss whose opinion means so much can disapprove of you. And you can have peace on the inside. That your spouse, who you love so much, can be displeased with the way you just behaved. But you can just know, Lord, help me learn and grow. If what they're saying is right. You know, God doesn't want us to need any human approval for us to know that all is well. If you need someone to approve of you, if you need people to think you're doing a great job, if you want people to believe that you're successful or that all is well, then do you know what? It's time to go to God and say, Lord, if all is well, then why am I like this? What is it in me that is causing me? You see, it's leading me to another one. You know, being driven. When there's that sense on the inside that I just have to succeed, I have to be a success to feel on the inside like I'm of value. Do you remember I said if there's a rash, there's a reason. Right. Being driven is a rash. Yes. Are you hearing me? Yes. You know, very often perfectionism is rooted in a very similar thing. I have to have all my ducks in a row. It has to all look good. Everything needs to be in a line for me to feel... It's okay. No. If all is well, then why? Jesus could handle messes. He handles me. Jesus can handle confusion all around. You know, if we're like that, it's time to say, God, I want you to do that work on the inside of me. Are you hearing this? And there's another one that I want to look at. Defensiveness. You know, if you still find yourself, someone comes to you and they're wanting to help you to grow in any area of your life, and if your first reaction is self-defense, it's one of the greatest symptoms. It's a rash. It's a rash that has a reason. You know, when we want to be right, when we want to, you know, always be able to kind of push back, You see, God wants us to be in that place where we can hear things being spoken to us, where we can receive correction, where we can hear the things that need to change on the inside. You know, I'm working on a book at the moment, and in my heart, I'm absolutely determined that this is going to be my best book, and I'm determined that every paragraph has to just be capable of changing a life. You know, and I asked my husband to read my first draft, and I've written about 55,000 words so far, and he read it and just said, not there yet, my love. And of course, I'm thinking, whoa, you know, 50,000 words later, let's go back to the beginning. But it's worth it. But you see, if we can't handle someone correcting us, if we can't handle being told, you know, you're a bit out of line here or there, then do you know what? Our soul needs to be made whole. Our soul needs to be healed. Irritability. If you easily get agitated, irritated, frustrated, if you easily get just prickly, it's a rash that has a reason. You know, I want to come back to where I started, which is the heart of God. The heart of our daddy God, who's saying, my beloved child, I pray. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit prays for us. Jesus is our intercessor. Wow. I pray that you may succeed in every area of your life, that you may prosper in every area of your life now, this year, and that you'll be in health to the proportion. Because I love you. I love you too much to give you too much before you can handle it. To the proportion that your soul prospers. You know, in my life, I've seen so many times how when God has shined his light on one little thing and one memory, sometimes it takes 20 minutes for it to happen. You know, there's a lady who messaged me this weekend from France. And she was saying that when she was watching the Facebook Live on Friday, that she'd prayed, I think, for the first time, that prayer about asking the Holy Spirit to shine his light. And she was taken straight back to being bullied by her brother, just age 3. Wow. And she'd seen how, and this is an adult, how all her life she'd been marked and affected by something that happened when she was 3. And she was messaging me saying, what do I do now? I know what happened, but what do I do now? And that's when we say, God, take me on a healing journey. Lord, do what you need to do. Thank God that over the years, God, with this house, you know, no one needs to stay in any level of pain in this house because there is a healing river in this place. You know, I want to encourage you at the start of this year in any area. You know, I'm so excited about our women's encounter. Sorry, guys. In February, the stuff God's been revealing on in my heart about the human soul. In fact, you said you want me to go to the men's encounter. It'll be the same thing because it's amazing what God's been showing me. And it's all going to be about these areas where deep down in our soul, there are wounds and hurts that make us what we think is, oh, I'm just the way I am. But the Lord says, no. My son, my daughter, let me take you on a journey. Let me shine my light into the depths of your heart and let me bring restoration. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. You know, I want to challenge you from love. I want to challenge you for the sake of your destiny, for the sake of everything God has for you this year, to do what it takes for God to be able to prosper you. Let's do what we need to do for God to be able to do everything through us that He wants to do. It requires a level of surrender that says, God, forgive me for just writing myself off, which is how it looks in the spirit as sorted. Isn't that ironic? In the spirit, when we say I'm sorted, there's a level of what God wants to do in us and through us where we write ourselves off by saying I'm sorted. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. If there is any area where the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, defensiveness, outbursts, maybe you still get jealous when other people do well. Maybe there are insecurities. Maybe you just don't feel that sense of adequacy on the inside. Maybe you know that you do crave approval still. And you've tried to deal with it and you thought you've dealt with it. Maybe you're someone and you just always want the world to see you with your ducks in a row. It's a rash that has a reason. And I want to encourage you right now to pray a prayer. You may have heard me speak about this before, but let's pray the way Rebecca prayed when something was wrong on the inside and she didn't know what. So if you know God's spoken something to you, something's been prompted, just lift both hands in the air as a sign of surrender. Just lift your hands in the air and just pray like this. Just say, Heavenly Father, do a new work in me this year. If all is well, then why am I like this? Shine your light into the depths of my soul and make me whole, that I may be useful in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.